We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus, Lord, you said, give and it shall be given unto you. So you're telling us to give, and so we're giving tonight in faith. So, Father, you love a cheerful giver, and we thank you that you said you'll multiply the seeds that are sown. So when we give, we expect that this seed, bakash, yilimosa, goes into the ground and gets watered, and it will not die, but it will germinate and produce. And we thank you, Lord God, by faith we receive our harvest, and we speak to it in the name of Jesus and all the other giving that we've already done in the years gone by, maybe even long time ago. We're speaking in the name of Jesus. Whatever we have given is coming back to us generously. We thank you for that because you said it, we believe it. You said it in Luke 6:38, then you said over there in 2 Corinthians, you said 9:6 and 10, he said that God gives seed to the sower, bread for food, and multiply the seeds that sown. So thank you. He said in your word, Ephesians 6:8, whatever we do for other people, you'll make happen for us. So thank you as we sow into the harvest. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Ushers, take the offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway. Well, turn in your Bibles with me, and I hope you guys got our notes back there. Did you get our notes, Mr. Dave? I gave Kendra something, but perhaps she didn't give it to you. But if not, I will send it to you, free of charge. Mr. Dave, you have it? Okay, I'll give it to you. Let's go ahead and give it to Dave. Not the offering. David McQuaid. Praise God. Amen. Okay, let's go to two openings. We'll start with Matthew 21 and verse 22, New King James Version. And then Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And those are two scriptures that we'll start. And our title of our message, of course, the series is on prayer. We did prayer last night, prayer school. And tonight we call this lesson, prayer failure, no more, amen. Prayer failure, no more. So thank God for that. So Mark 11:24 and Matthew. We'll start with Matthew 21:22, and I'm reading the New King James because the old King James is old, and the New King James is new. So whatever things, everybody say things. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21:22. Matthew, Jesus is speaking over here. Matthew is writing this, his letter, his epistle, or his gospel. He said, whatever things you pray. And everybody has things that they want to pray about, whatever things you want to pray about. So we pray about things. Things. So whatever things you ask in prayer. So we ask for things in our prayer life. This particular prayer is speaking about, this is called a prayer petition. That's when you ask God something. And then you also, this prayer is called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And notice in Matthew 21:22, Jesus is talking about believing for things, praying about things, and believing for things that you want happen in your life. And let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and we'll say a few things there as well. Mark 11, 24, as you know, in verse 22, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He just illustrated, gave a illustrated sermon, so to speak, and he spoke to a fig tree. And so over there in verse 12, I believe it is, and he spoke to a fig tree, and he found no fruit on it, and he said, no man shall ever eat fruit from you again. And then they went out and did their thing, come back next day, and the tree was withered. They said from the roots. I don't know how they figured that out. But they said it was withered from the fruit, from the roots. And then in verse 22, Jesus, they were all astounded, the disciples were, about what happened so fast. And what Jesus said to that fig tree, no man's going to eat from you anymore, and it withered. And they came by, you know, on their trip, they came back again. And verse 22, Jesus, because they were fascinated and excited about prayer, about speaking and things like that, and at least for supernatural things, they were excited about it. And Jesus turned to his disciples in verse 22, says, have faith in God. Have faith in God, verse 22. In my King James Bible, it gives me a little reference in the bottom of it and gives me the actual meaning or the Greek in that Bible, in the King James. It said in there, have the faith of God. You know, there's a difference between the faith of God. Are you listening now? There's the faith of God and there's the faith of man. And there's a distinction about God's faith or spiritual faith and natural faith. And so we have to understand, know the difference between those two in order for us to have success in our prayer language or our prayer or walking by faith. And so Jesus tells them, have faith in God or have the faith of God or the kind of faith God has. He encouraged them to have this kind of faith. He encouraged them. He told them to possess this kind of faith. And God wants us to have and exercise this kind of faith for things. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about it there that verse 32 talks about in Hebrews 11:32, it says that we receive promises by faith. Everything in the Bible is received by faith. So if we're going to pray, we're going to have to believe and know what the Scripture says. So Jesus, in verse 22, Mark 11, says, have the God kind of faith, or the type of faith, or the kind of faith God has. Have the faith of God. Or we can say it this way, have the God kind of faith. Well, we want to have the God kind of faith because our faith is only based on sense knowledge. We can only believe far as our senses tell us, far as our education can reach, far as science can teach us, far as our five senses can give us information. That's what we call sense knowledge. Jesus didn't encourage us to have that kind of faith to believe for things. When he spoke to Thomas in John chapter 20, I believe it's verse 23, somewhere around verse 20, somewhere around there, he says to him that, you know, Thomas, because you have seen me, in other words, because of sense knowledge, because of your senses, you believe that I rose from the dead. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen me and have believed. So, see, we can believe in things that we can't see with our natural senses. So, from verse 22 is the encouragement Jesus gave the disciples and all of us here tonight. Then in verse 23, he begins to give us an explanation about what that God kind of faith, or, you know, at least two outstanding principles of how it operates. And can we get that there? Mark 11, 23. This is the actual steps, if you want to put it, or the principles of that verse 22. He says two major things there that are significant to us if we're going to receive Bible promises. And he says in verse 22, for assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples and us, whoever says to this mountain, and he's referring to any kind of thing that's larger than you, that's standing in your way in life. Whoever says to this mountain, it could be sickness, it could be a financial thing, could be, you know, relationship issues you're experiencing, be removed. Well, we don't want any mountain, we want to remove the mountain. Some people talk about how great the mountain is and how big it is and how they can't get rid of it. And they worship it for several years. But Jesus said, be thou removed, and be thou cast to the sea. Notice this, and does not doubt in his heart. And you have to look at this, not doubt in his heart, but believe in his heart. Believe, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that is in his heart, that those things which he says, not what God says, not what Jesus says about things, about what you say about your mountain. He says, be done, and he will have whatever he says. Okay, so you need to believe what you say. That's the faith of God. God believes what he says. He believes, when he said, let there be light, he believed that light would come. He would say something and things would manifest. Jesus spoke to that fig tree, and whatever he said manifested, and those disciples were astounded. And let me just say this, you know, we've been coaching ourselves, perhaps many of us for many years, saying negative things about things in our lives, and we stayed in that kind of realm for years. And then when we try to change it to the, you know, positive, then we find it strange because we have to say things that are actually not true in your life, in the natural, but true to God, in God. Because people think you're crazy if you speak positive things. You take a Bible promise and you say, this is mine, I believe healing is mine, when you're sick. When you're flat broke, have no money and nowhere to go, and you say, thank God, I have all things met in the name of Jesus, and people look at you strange. But that's your mountain. You have to speak to the mountain to leave, and you have to believe about what you want to happen in your life. So that's the basis of how faith works, or the God kind of faith. It believes in its own words. In other words, when you have the faith of God, you believe whatever you say will come to pass. In other words, you believe in your own words, and you don't waste words. You say things that you believe. And so, two things I want to point out to you. Number one, about the God kind of faith, is number one for us, that we have to believe from our hearts. I don't know how many times you'll have to tell yourself this. You think you're smart sitting there writing it down, that you'll remember this, but I'll tell you, when you run into trouble, you'll forget all this stuff. Because it has to be so strong in you that it's automatic. Okay, so believe in his heart. In other words, the God kind of faith has to work from your heart. The God kind of faith has to work from your heart. In other words, your heart is your spirit on the inside of you. And when you believe, you have to believe from the inside. You have to believe with your heart. The same way you believe you were born again, with your heart. How many of you got born again? Did you see God's hand ripping your heart out and putting a new one in? You know, giving you a giant needle. You know, we didn't say all that, but it happened. The Bible says God gave us a brand new spirit. So he says in here that number one, we believe with our heart. That's how the God kind of faith is. We believe with the heart. Remember this definition and remember this explanation about believing from the heart. Believing from the heart is believing independent of sense, knowledge, evidence. Believing God without having seen what you're believing for. Having never felt. Having never, whatever in the natural from your senses. You have to believe with your spirit. In other words, you can't believe with your feelings. You can't believe with your mind. think real hard and try to concentrate real hard. No, that's not how it happens. It happens in your spirit. The moment you hear God's word, you have to say, that's mine. Yeah, I have it. I have it in my heart. You got to. That's why meditation is strong. That's why you have to meditate on these things. Get it in your spirit. Make it become a part of you. That's why 1 John 15:7, he says, if my words abide in you, you're going to ask for what you will, it'll be done unto you. John 15:7. And meditating on God's word. God told Joshua to have success, he'd have to meditate the word. The word to meditate is mutter or speak to yourself privately, talk yourself into believing. Muttering to yourself, to mutter to yourself, to talk to yourself about that, chew on it. It gives that, a connotation that you're chewing on something like a cow chewing on the cud. That's what it gives you, that gives you that picture. So you're sitting in your office, you're sitting in your bedroom, you're sitting at 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting there thinking about a scripture, and you're thinking about it, and you're meditating on it, and you sing yourself with it. You're talking to yourself about it. Like the woman with the issue of blood in chapter 5, she said, if I can just touch Jesus, if I can just go there, if I can just wiggle my way through, if I can just get there and touch Jesus. She saw herself doing it. She saw, if I can do that, I'll get healed. And Jesus said, your faith did it. Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, if I can just get there and touch Jesus. Amplified Bible says she kept telling herself, she kept repeating this to herself over and over. That's muttering to yourself. Some of us, when we sit in bed at night or get alone, we think about all the negative things that could happen to us. The failures, we rehearse the failures over and over. What's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? What if I fail this? What if I fail that? What are people going to say? I might die and I might go broke. I might, lose everybody. And we talked about, in Mark 11:24, I want to talk to you about the time lapse. From the time you believe you receive to the time you actually receive, there's a time lapse for us, not for God. What happens in between? The time you stand there and say, thank you, Lord, I got it, amen, hallelujah. And you go, and all of a sudden you have to deal with your own emotions. You have to deal with the circumstances. You have to deal with what people are saying. You have to deal with what the doctor said. You're going to have to deal with the MRI that came in. You're going to have to deal with the blood report. You got to believe what everybody is saying about the economic situation and what everybody's saying. And you got to believe God through all that with you alone and the scripture. No one else could do it for you. You can get pastor to pray for you. You can get somebody to pray for you. You can pray, go to the hotline or some prayer line and ask God, somebody to pray for you. But you got to stand alone still. Amen. Are you getting this? Yes. The second principle. The first principle is believing with your heart. That's believing independent of sense knowledge. The second principle is that you believe, or you have to release your faith with words or believe what you say. Believe in your own words. That's the God kind of faith. That's how it operates. And that's why it's so important to keep your promises. So important. To tell people, if you say, I'm going to help you, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to do that for you, and you don't do it, then when it comes to believing God, you have a hard time believing Him because you think He's like you. He's not like you. He said, I'll never fail you or forsake you. So two principles. How this thing works. Number one, believes with the heart. Has nothing to do with your head. Has nothing to do with the circumstances that's going on. Has nothing to do with what everybody else is saying. Has nothing to do with the MRI. Has nothing to do with what they said in the report. You got to face that. And that's why we have a hard time believing God, because we look at all the situations. We check if, is he getting better? And people come and, they ask me sometimes, they say, Pastor, please pray for me that I'll have a different, the doctor will give me a good report. It's not about, no matter if the doctor didn't give you a bad report, you're done, man. You have to say, you know what? I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the report says. I believe. That's why Isaiah says, whose report will you believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. Remember that song? So, there you have it. You have the exhortation of Jesus, the illustration of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, verse 23. Then verse 24, now we're going to get to verse 24. And now we go to our verse of scripture here. Verse 24. Therefore. So since we got all the explanation, we say, therefore. Now we got the explanation, then we say, therefore. This is why prayer works. That's what he's saying. Because you understand now the God kind of faith, how it operates now, therefore, now you can pray. Because sometimes, you know, we're so quick, you know, to operate and just lay hands on people because we want to help them emotionally. We're just so emotionally charged. We want to help somebody. So we're so quick to lay hands on them because we want them to be healed. And we never gave them a chance to build up their faith. We don't give them the scriptures. We don't spend time with them and then pray. Then we say, if I lay hands on you, will you receive? They say, well, I don't know. Then they're not ready. Because the time lapse between the time they say, amen, I believe, I receive, and the time that they actually manifest their healing. And during that time, the devil is going to make all kinds of, try to mess you up, dissuade you, give you more symptoms, give you more bad reports. Then you gotta walk through that, and your mind is giving you trouble, your emotions giving you trouble. You get up in the nighttime, and you have to live this way. You got to live. The Bible says we walk by, faith. Not by sight. And so here we see, here Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them. In other words, when you pray, the moment you pray about whatever it is, whatever thing you're believing for, if you can't believe that you got it right then you're not ready to pray. You better do more meditation. You better get some more scriptures. You better read some more Bible. You better get somebody to help you. You got to sit again and look at, you go back to Bible school, whatever it is you have to do. And I don't care how long you've been doing it, you never get through this. You never finish this thing. You have to do it again. If you're going to believe for healing again, if you get sick next year or 5 years from now, you're going to have to go back to the same scriptures again and read them again. Just like you cannot put your supper away and then say, I'll eat it down the road over there. No, you got to make new supper. You have to eat it again. How many of you you're going to eat again sometime? Right? We're going to eat again. So you have to take the same scripture again and talk about it to yourself. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And you're the very best, you're the best preacher for yourself. You're the best prophesier for yourself. You're the best prophet for your life. And speak to yourself about it. Talk to yourself about the scriptures. Hear what God says about it. Devil, come here. I want to talk to you about it. I want to show you a scripture, what God told me. And don't run away from him. You're not to be afraid of devil. If you're afraid of him, then he's got you beat. What's wrong with Psalm 23? I will fear no evil. The moment fear comes in you, no matter where you are, brushing your teeth in the morning or just walking to your bed at night, and all of a sudden some scary thought comes, you say, no, just tell yourself, no, I don't believe that. He'll feed you just a little bit at a time, and you just let that slide. You don't say anything. No, you have to say, no, 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 no. I said, no, 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 no. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Here's what I believe. I believe that God supplies all money. I believe that by his stripes, I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. Yeah? That's what we say. And this will help you. Believe that you receive them. You have to believe that you receive. You have to believe you receive it. And then the next line is that you will have them. That's eventually you'll have it. In other words, when you pray, I got it, thank God, woo, then you got to go away acting like you got it, like you're acting like you got it. You know? You have to go away. Somebody says, did you receive? Oh, yeah. Well, you don't look any better. Why you got that cane? Well, you know, I believe I receive. I receive it in here with my spirit. Amen? You got to learn how to do this. You got to do this in your life. So, the proposition to this whole thing is that answered prayer has much to do with the receiving end than the sending end. Answered prayer really depends on you, not on God, because God's always true to His Word. We're not always true with working the Word and doing the Word. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, that's the first thing about life. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus talked about the sower sows the word, and he explained that in Mark, I think in Mark 4 and then some other chapters in Luke. He talks about, how many of you remember the seed, the sower, and the seed sower? He said those people who receive, they're the ones that with an honest heart. Those people are honest about life. Integrity. Facing their situation to say, yeah, you know, I do have a problem here, and I'm fixing it. I'm believing. I'm receiving right now. It's funny, you know, when people are they get so blessed, they get away from God. They stop depending on God, and they say, oh, I have my job. I got my girlfriend. Woo! Eh? After years, it goes further and further away, you know. But you see, you know, the Bible is full of the exhortation about God saying, you know, hey, when you're living in good houses, you got your wife, your kids are good, you got plantations, you got everything, you got camels, horses, cows, cars, you're traveling everywhere, everything's going good for you. He said, don't forget about me. God tells Israel that whenever you go back, you go to the good land, he said, don't forget about me. And a lot of times people, you know, they get sober. All of a sudden, they get a job, go back. Everybody's, you know, you've been forgiven. Everybody likes you now. You're a star. You know, you're a star, man. Look what I did. Don't you guys ever think, look what I did. Look at me. Look at. You'll never come to the place of that. You'll always be dependent on God. You know, to me, like, you know, how many years I've been 78. That's a long time. I still get up in the morning and say, God, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. I go to bed at night saying, Lord, thank you. I'm not in jail today. Thank you, Lord God. I turn around in bed. I'm telling you the truth. I turn around in bed and say, Lord, thank you. I see my wife looking at me at night. She's not looking at me, but I'm looking at her. A woman that loves me, cares for me. I got respect in the community. Like, I never had that before. Where did I get that from? I got it from God. I got it all from God. And God hears my prayer. Woo! I said one of the greatest days in your life is when you know that your prayer works for you. That you don't have to have anybody lay hands on you. You don't have to go to the prayer line, the hotline, or any kind of line, the clothesline, whatever it is. You can believe for yourself. But I'm not saying that you're going to be alone. There's going to be times that you're going to need. There's times I go to my wife. We pray together, and I said, honey, agree with me with this. You know, I need help. She says, believe for yourself. He said, a man told me that. No, I'm just kidding. No, we have to just, there's certain times in life we have to depend on each other, but not all the time. There's a lot of things in your life that you have to take care of yourself. I don't come home and brush your teeth. Put on your socks. He said, come on over here, Pastor, put my socks on. No, you put your own socks on. Start my car up, you know. Amen. Jesus said, I tell you that you can pray for anything, and if you believe, you'll receive, it'll be yours. If you can believe, you'll receive it, it can be yours. If you can believe with your heart, and we all can do that. So, in the past, you know, we've had prayer failures. All of us have had prayer failures. We went into prayer so quickly. We prayed about things that we actually didn't need to pray. We just had to believe God for it because God always said it. We just had to believe Him about certain things. And you don't have to ask God. Keep asking God for the same thing. Now, there's some things you go back to God about certain issues when you're interceding and praying for somebody. But for your own needs, you know, we always say there's three general areas you pray about. First of all, Philippians 4:6 says you pray about your own things, your own stuff. He said, take your requests. He didn't say, take your family's requests or take John's requests. He didn't say, take your church's requests. No, take your requests, yours, your anxieties, your hard times. You take it to God. You talk to Him about it. I don't do it for you. You do it for yourself. And that's why people have a hard time. They don't have a relationship with God like they should, like the word, with the Word. They don't read the Word. They don't study the Word enough that to really, really, you know, feel comfortable that God actually hears them. Then there's another area where we pray about, and that is Ephesians 6:18, is that when we pray about everybody else, when God asks you to pray about things. You know, we were praying yesterday in that room, and the Lord said to me, tell people, show people about praying about, you know, praying about the prayer of faith, and just add these areas in here, because these people need to learn about that. And guess what? We're talking about this tonight. The reason why we're talking about the prayer of faith is that this is the granddaddy of all faith, of all prayer. If you can't pray this prayer, forget about the other prayers. You will never be able to do this, if you don't know this prayer. Because this prayer touches on all other kinds of prayer, about the praying, you know, interceding for somebody. You got to have faith. You got to believe. If you're giving your heart to God, you got to believe God took it and He's taking care of you. Yeah. You got to believe that if you consecrate your life, you got to believe that the Lord's going to take care of that. You have to believe that, you know, if the prayer of, you know, the prayer of, as we use the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord, the prayer of, breaking anxieties, you know, you lift that to God and give it to God. You got to believe that God took it. Otherwise, you take it back and you start getting nervous again. If you get nervous about it and talking about it, talking nervously about what you're going through to everybody, if you keep doing that, then you got it. God doesn't have it. You have to act like it's so. You got to act like God took it, and you got to act like it and talk like it when you're talking to somebody. You talk like actually you received it. That God took care of it. And if you always talk to about somebody about the same issue, you're not letting God work at it. You're working at it. You know, the devil will try to bring cares on you. Just keep throwing it to the Lord. Just talk back and say, listen, I gave that to God. God's working at it right now. I'm going to bed. When I get up in the morning, and if it's still there, I'm just still believing. And if 10 years from now nothing changed, I'm still going to believe God. You have to make up your mind. Eventually, He's going to come. The Bible says, notice it says that you have to believe you receive. Believe that you receive. That's present tense. He says, the King James says, believe that you have. Right? Believe that you have is present tense. Believe that you received is present tense. Believe that you received, that means you got it right now. Yeah. I have it right now. Well, how do you know? The Bible says it. I believe I receive it right now. I believe my kids are sober right now. I believe they're all in church right now. I believe I got my car. I believe the money is in the bank. I thank God. You know, I believe, you know, I'm married right now. Act like you're married. That's what I did. My wife all of a sudden comes into my life, and I act like I was married. I act like I didn't look at dirty books. I didn't look for a girlfriend. I acted as clean as I could be, you know, as far as a man could be. Didn't look at women, you know, I just act like, you know, I'm going to serve God, and God, you're taking care of this. And my wife walks in and says, you know, I want to marry you. And so we got married. 31 years later, 32 years later, we're still together. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God's good. So you have to believe you got it. You got to believe you have it now. Then it says in there that you shall have. Shall have is designated as future tense. Like somewhere along the line, it's going to manifest. Don't worry about that part. That's God's part. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to make it happen. I let God do it. Because here, you know, here's where the problem is. And I said, here's the big problem is, okay, so there's a time left between when the time you receive, I believe I receive, and the time that, you know, you have it over there somewhere along the line. I don't know when that is. Going to manifest it. So during that time, there's a lot of trouble that goes on. And that's where you have to stand. When you've done all to stand, devil's going to bombard you. He's going to send things to you. He's going to send images to you. He's going to speak to you about things. He's going to say all kinds of stuff about whatever is going wrong in your life. And it's very, very subtle. I want to tell you something. It's very so subtle, you might even think it's you. He is so subtle that he sounds just like you. You know, sometimes, you know, there's people say, you know, I don't know if that's me or God talking to me. Well, if it's me, your spirit, then yeah, God is talking to you in your spirit. God sounds like you in your spirit. So, there are many reasons why there's prayer failure. So, two main ingredients really is believing or having faith in God. And secondly, is learning to have implement the love walk, which is the commandment God says to all of us to implement is the love walk. If you have animosity towards people, resentment toward people, you cut yourself off from operating, disqualifying yourself and walking by faith. Mad at people, holding grudges and just you know, talking about people negatively and, you know, just having a negative attitude about everybody and affects you. You get sour. Be careful. The Bible says you have an evil heart of unbelief and entering in his rest. So, sometimes, everybody says sometimes, you have to wait long. And you have to have joy. Here's something here. There's many reasons why there are prayer failures. Some are very obvious. Some are not so much obvious. Generally, faith, as I mentioned, and love has to do with the main ingredients of why prayer is not working in people's life. And you can split that in so many ways. But in Mark 11, we just saw there's a time lapse between the time you believe you receive and the time you actually have it. Sometimes there's, you know, it could be a day, 24 hours, if you do it right, or whatever it is, or you're struggling with it, you might take you longer till you get it right. But you can receive it instantly. So, devil come dissuading you. There's a story here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 8 of King James. Jesus said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now, you know, I read this so many times before, didn't really see what was being said there. Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray. In Luke chapter 8, let's go to New English Translation. Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. Let's look at the scriptures here. And I'm going to read it and give you a couple of them. We'll have to shut her down soon. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy." Now he's teaching principles. Everybody say principles. You have to understand, this is not New Testament style of praying. He was giving them principles. This is the way how to actually do the prayer. You know, our Father in heaven is actually a teaching of learning to be a worshiper of God and giving God honor and giving him praise. This is what it's talking about. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, somebody said, you know that God's name was Howard. He kept saying that, Howard be thy name, Howard be thy name. Well, his name is not Howard. Okay, just in case if you're here tonight. Lord teaches to pray. So he said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. How many people know his kingdom has come? Amen. He's in your heart. Jesus said your kingdom is in your heart. The kingdom of God has come to your heart. Are you guys doing okay? Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. He said, God, please don't let me yield to that. When God said, don't let sin, don't sin. He's telling you, but you know, this is the New Living, the English translation. You gotta watch these English guys. Anyway. I mean, it sounds like you're actually blaming God because he let you do that sin, whatever it is. So you have to read in context and go back to the original language and find out exactly what he's saying. I'm just reading it to you here so we can get it quickly here. And so then teaching them more about prayer, he used a story. He said, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Well, who does that anyway? Well, Jesus knows how stupid people are. Yeah? People do that, eh? When I knock at Monique's house, knock, knock, knock. Who's that? Their pastor. Looks like pastor's car out there. What's he want? He wants 3 loaves of bread. We're not going to let him in. He doesn't look right. You know? Okay, so he wants 3 loaves of bread. I lost my space now. Messing around here. Okay, so you said to him, a friend of mine has just arrived from Vancouver for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom. Well, he's going to say, go to Metro. The Metro should be open, guys. Amen. Yeah, he's on 24 hours. So suppose he calls to his bedroom. He says, from his bedroom, he says, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, Jesus said, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give him whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Everybody say, shameless.
Shameless.
The guy has no shame at all knocking on someone's door at midnight. Jesus has given the illustration here that when we believe by faith, you have to be persistent. Once you ask something, you got to stay like he's going to ask, give you whatever you need. Amen. You got to be shameless. The Bible, other version says, unless you're bold as anything else, you're so bold about it that you're going to get what you want. You have to be so bold about what you're asking that you don't mind asking. And you have to understand with God, you gotta say, Lord, I've received this in the name of Jesus. I'm staying it. I don't know. People might say no about this, but I receive. Amen. I mean, everybody else might say no, you know. So anyway, we're gonna have to stop here because there's much to say about it. But you know, you gotta apply faith. So much of our failure has to do a lot of times with relationship with one another, that we harbor resentments with each other. You know, Peter talks about the husband and wife. They have to, like the husband has to treat the wife a certain way, and you know, he has to do certain, you know, his duty as a man. And if he doesn't do that, his prayers are going to be hindered, and the family suffers. And so we have to stay sweet with each other. But it's the other way around too, if the wife does it with the husband. Or if you do it with the pastor. Or if you do it with your friend. Right. You have to have that sweetness about it, that you're not going to hold anything against each other. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in there, verse 6 or something like that, it says that our prayers be not hindered. Because we can hinder our own prayer by the way we are. Praise God. Anyway, we have to stop. I know it's 8 o'clock and people shut off about 5 minutes ago. But I just wanted to get that one point in there, praise God. Amen? I kind of shoved it in. Amen? You ever do that? You know, they tell you at the gym, you're like, hey, we're close here in 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you exercise real fast. Meanwhile, you're talking to people all along, you know. Right? Talking to people all along and watching people. You're supposed to be exercising. And they say, hey, it's time to go. Then all of a sudden, you exercise real fast. Right? They say, we got to go. I'm just finish my set here. Or you know, I mean, when they shut the lights off, when you try to go to the, when you finish, like go to the store or somewhere, they want to shut her down, right? Well, you know what I mean. We got to shut down here. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Did you get something? Are you happy you came to church and hear the Word of God? Yes. Amen. The Word of God is good. Everybody say the Word of God. It's powerful. Say, I'm changed because of the word tonight. Say, I feel better because of the word. It changed the way I feel because it changed the way I think. Now I'm going to act different. I'm going to act like I received. When somebody asks me something about what I'm believing for, I'm going to say, thank God I have it. I'll just say, woo-hoo! Yes, sirree! I got it. I received it. Say, I'm going to act like the Bible is true. Say, there are some things I don't even have to pray about. I just look at the Bible and they say, I received that promise right now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless them. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I want to tell you something, you know, you know, we're believing the different things, you know. We're believing that maybe the best conference we're going to have this year. We're having Wednesday to Sunday night, and we got the gala coming up for Spirit Alive. Believing for double our partners. And it grows every year. I mean, things are growing. Sometimes you want to make it go faster. But how many people know that sometimes, you know, you make a soup, it takes longer to make a good soup. You can throw some macaroni together. Put some soup on there, you know, make a soup, put some onion soup, whatever in there. But, you know, sometimes you just do something. I believe there's something happening. I believe God put in my heart that something's happening. I want to tell you something. You know, we were in that room. The spirit of might came upon me. I'm not saying this because, you know, the power of God came on me yesterday. I'm standing there, and literally the power of God came on me, changed me. There's a spirit of faith came on me. I told those people that I want to tell you something. I said, that strike's over. I said, the strike's over, and it's all settled. And I began to prophesy some things. I said, tomorrow morning, you'll see. Peter was there yesterday. And Pastor Ken gave me a paper in the morning, and it was just exactly what he said. Wow. The Spirit of God said. The Lord said to me a number of times before, he said, the same Spirit I put on Brother Hagin, I'm going to put on you. Amen. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't know whether or not you take me into the prophet's ministry. What are you doing? So I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but whatever you're going to do, Lord, I believe it, I receive it. Amen. On Sunday here, I was here, we were here, we were fixing this property here, our property. And as I was leaving the office over here yesterday afternoon, someone stopped me and asked me about the property, and they wrote a check of $30,000 to give to me so I could finish off the rest of that thing over here. I mean, that's pretty good. Amen? That's good. God is doing things. That I tell you, there's people here that are giving money in this room. Every once in a while, somebody gives something. But God will send you people who will help you, who will encourage you. And there's things happening, I believe, right now in the spiritual realm that we're trusting the Lord to happen. We're believing with people that, for issues in their physical body. And we're believing God for real things that are actually going to shake people's lives. Families, relationship issues, and different things. I want you to stand in faith. Don't care how long it's taking you. Just say, God, I want to thank you for your promises. That you're real. And the devil, he came to me again, told me about a lot of stuff, how he's going to do this and that. I just have to laugh. You just laugh at the devil, because he's defeated. And the Lord, he's already raised up some things in you, and he's going to change things in your life. Things are going to get better. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise him one more time. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen.